I think it had a little bumpy sensation after that.
Okay. Now, how would you characterize the grounding or the bumping?
It was like short bumps.
Short bumps?
Yes.
About how many bumps before the ship came to stop?
I can't remember.
Were you aware when the ship did come to stop?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. And as the ship, the first bump, did anything happen after that?
Yes, the mate told me to give me a hard left.
And did you put the wheel hard left?
I put the ship hard left.
Okay. Did he also take the wheel and spin it hard left at that
yes,
time?
Yes, we both spun it together.
Both spun it together. Okay. Now, after the hard left, where did the next helm orders come from? Was it from the mate or?
It came from the captain.
From the captain. Did you hear the captain come on the bridge?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Where was the first, when the captain gave me the first order, where was he at?
He was right in front of me.
Right in front of you. Did you see him go by you?
No, I didn't.
Okay. And what kind of orders did he give you?
He was giving me a couple of hard lefts and hard rights.
I see. And what was the third mate doing at this time?
I didn't notice.
Did you notice him at any time over at the controls for the engines?
No, I didn't.
Okay. About how long was this so-called bumpy sensation that the ship, I think when we interviewed you, you called it a bumpy ride.
Yes.
How long did the bumpy ride last?
Oh, just a very few minutes.
Very few minutes. Now, are we speaking about minutes or moments?
Moments.
Moments. Would it be something like a matter of seconds? Just sort of count off in your mind and see if you can recollect how many seconds it might have been.
It might have been a minute.
Well, a minute, 60 seconds.
30 seconds, I'm sorry.
Something like 30 seconds
yes.
or less. Okay, we're
yes.
not trying to be too specific. Just if you can recall, we would welcome the information. Okay. Now, do you have any feeling for how long the captain stood there giving you orders to the helm?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you recall any time that the captain sometimes stopped giving you orders?
Yes, he turned around and told me that we've fall aground, and he says just stand by the con.
All right. Now, do you recall him or anyone else doing anything with the engines at this time?
No, I didn't. I haven't noticed.
Okay. Did you happen to notice at any time whether the engines were ever stopped?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Did you recall any time, say, half hour or so later, that the engines were restarted?
No, I didn't.
Nothing like that. Okay. After the grounding, or after the bumping ride, do you recall anything that the mate did, for example?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Do you recall the bridge or any lights being turned on anywhere?
I think the lights was turned on.
In the pilot house?
No, and on the deck.
On the deck lights.
Yes.
Now, when you were steering the vessel, or when you were given these rudder orders of right 10, right 20, and eventually hard right,
yes.
Did you hear any alarms on the bridge anywhere?
No, I didn't.
Did you hear any of the inert gas system relief valves lifting?
That was after we went full ground. I heard the bullets lift.
You heard a what lift?
The bullets lift. The bullets.
The bullets lift.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Have you always sailed with the Exxon Shipping Company?
Yes, I have.
And did you any time prior to your employment with Exxon, serve with any other companies?
Yes, I did.
And which company might that be?
It was a contracting company for offshore vessels.
Okay. And when you're on those offshore vessels, what was your capacity?
I was in the stores department.
I'm not sure I asked you your total number of years with Exxon.
It's 14 years.
14 years, perhaps I did.
Yes.
Mr. Kagan, I think this takes care of all the questions that I have, and I want to thank you very much.
Yes,
I'll turn you back to the board.
Thank you.
Dr. Barkey, do you have any questions?
Yes,
sir. Mr. Kagan, did you interact with the Captain Hazelwood just prior to the grounding or after the grounding?
I do not remember.
When he was standing in front of you, did you detect the presence of alcohol in his breath?
No, I didn't.
Are you aware of the Exxon policy on the use of drugs and alcohol on
Yes.
board vessels?
Yes, I am.
How did you become aware of that policy?
In newsletters, and as Master would tell us.
Did Captain Hazelwood ever brief you on that policy?
Well, I've known that policy for a few years.
Have you ever had a copy of that policy?
Yes, I did.
Have you ever seen the use of alcohol or drugs on board an Exxon vessel?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever seen the presence of beer or other alcoholic beverages on the vessel, on
No.
an Exxon vessel?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever seen or had you ever had your luggage or other paraphernalia you carry on board searched before you came on board to make sure there was no alcoholic beverages on your person?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever seen such search being done on others on an Exxon vessel or before boarding an Exxon vessel?
No, I haven't.
While at sea, have you ever practiced steering a vessel or steered a vessel?
Yes, I have.
Under what circumstances have you done that?
I've done it at sea. I've done it in closed-in ports. In isolated waters.
Does that include Exxon vessels?
Yes.
Including tankers?
Yes.
Under what guidance or instruction did you do that? In other words, was it under the supervision of the master or some other officer of the vessel?
Yes.
And can you tell me who that might have been or what position that individual held?
I really don't remember.
Would it have been the captain himself?
It might have been.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you, Dr. Berkey. Mr. Hallett?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we do have some questions. Mr. Kagan, have you gone ashore in Valdez?
No, I haven't.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all.
Commander Walbring?
Good afternoon, Mr. Kagan.
Good afternoon.
While you were on the helm, your watchmate was out on lookout, and she came in and made a report. Did you hear the report that she made concerning the red light?
No, I haven't.
Were you aware that she did come in and make a report?
No, I haven't.
When the third mate gave you a course change, did he give you a course to come to?
No, he didn't.
He just said come right.
Yes, sir.
And were you wondering what course you were supposed to come to, or did that occur to you?
It didn't occur to me.
Have you in the past engaged the gyro compass?
No, I haven't.
Have you in the past disengaged it?
Yes, I have.
There's some times here that they're somewhat critical, but I have some questions about. You came up at around 2350 the first time, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, I have.
And then you went back and got your jacket and came back up.
Yes.
The first time you came up, was the captain on the bridge?
Didn't notice.
And the second time, was he on the bridge?
I didn't notice either.
Okay. How long after that, after you came on and relieved, did the third mate and you two take the vessel off the gyro?
I think it was about 5 minutes, I think it was.
Okay. Did, when you came up, did you happen to look at the radar before you relieved the helm?
Yes, I did.
And what did you see on the radar?
I saw a lot of ice.
What did the ice look like on the radar?
White targets.
Do you know how far they were ahead of you?
No, I don't.
Do you know what range the radar was on?
No, I didn't.
Do you know where they were in relation to the heading, the header, heading flasher on the radar?
No, I didn't.
You couldn't determine whether they were ahead or to the right or to the left?
No, I can't.
Did you see any lights just prior to the grounding or right after the grounding?
No, I didn't.
Did you go out as a lookout any time during that watch after you grounded?
No, I didn't.
What were your duties during those 4 hours, the remainder of your watch while the vessel was aground?
Well, I helped the 48 bring a ladder over to the rail.
Okay, was there any conversations on the bridge concerning the grounding?
I didn't notice.
Did you hear anything on the bridge concerning why the vessel was in the position it was in?
No, I didn't.
Did you happen to look at a watch or look at the time when you came up the second time?
No, I didn't.
You just think it was around 2355?
Yes, I think it was.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Dr. Laresh.
Bob Laresh is going to be answering questions for the state of Alaska.
Both you and Greg or Mr. Cousins reached for the gyro off button. Mr. Cousins seemed to be in a hurry.
He just said he was going to make a course change, and he went and pressed the button, and I had my hand there too.
Okay. Did he seem unusually excited about making this course change, or?
No, he wasn't.
Okay. You also said that that you didn't notice a change in the course, I suppose, watching the change indicator before your Mr. Cousins told you to put in 20 degrees right rudder. Is that correct?
He told me to put in 10 and then 20.
And after you put in 10, did the ship start turning before you put in 20?
I don't think it did.
And that was about a minute and a half, 2 minutes between
yes.
those two orders. Is this unusual with this vessel?
Yes, and when it's loaded, she's hard to swing.
So it's normal that nothing happens for a minute and a half after putting in 10 degrees rudder?
Yes.
Okay. Did you notice any problems with all your experience on the steering? Were there any problems on this voyage?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. You said that Mr. Cousins just gave you rudder orders and didn't tell you to come on to a course. Is that correct?
No, he didn't.
Okay. You said earlier to to the NTSB that before the hard right rudder order, you'd use some counter rudder to slow the swing as you're preparing to steady on 235 or 245.
I did not.
I'm sorry, you didn't say that to the NTSB?
I did not say that.
Okay. Certainly the course recorder shows the use of counter rudder, but you're sure as you sit here now that you did not use counter rudder?
No, I didn't.
Okay. When you were on the bridge after the grounding, did you hear any of the radio traffic with the VTS?
No, I didn't.
Would you normally hear that?
They might have been on a radio, but I didn't hear any conversations.
Did Mr. Cousins say anything to you after the grounding?
He said that we were grounded.
Was that the only thing Mr. Cousins said to you?
I think that's all he said.
For the remaining 4 hours you were on watch, those are the only words Mr. Cousins spoke to you?
I think it was.
Okay, and the same question with Captain Hazelwood. Did he say any words to you in those 4 hours?
Yes, he gave me a couple of rudder rudder commands.
Okay. In your past work for Exxon Shipping, have you ever known of any captain evaluating you as less than satisfactory?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Would Captain Hazelwood have had occasion in the past to evaluate you to the company?
I don't know if he did or not.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Kagan. I appreciate it. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Captain Deppe.
Just one.
Exxon's representative is about to begin questioning.
Just one, Mr. Kagan.
Yes. Robert Kagan.
And again, a little bit of a clarification. For the 90 to 120 seconds, or the minute to minute and a half, after the third mate Cousins ordered the 10-degree right rudder, were you in a position where you were standing at the in the wheelhouse, standing at the helm?
Yes, it
were
was.
You, okay. Could you look forward? I mean,
yes, I could.
Were you being sharing the watch? I mean, the watch and the helmsman duties, and being in a darkened area, would you have had an opportunity to see lights forward? What were you doing during that period of time? Could you?
I was standing by the con. I was just checking my gyro. Excuse me. Is this before I was steering or what?
I'm specifically interested in the time when Third Mate Cousins said ordered 10-degree right rudder.
Oh yes, I was concentrating on steering.
But don't you just turn the wheel until the quadrant moves over to 10 degrees and then hold that?
I do.
And then you watch the gyro?
Yes, I do.
But for a minute and a half, nothing happened?
I take that back. It was about 30 seconds. I'm sorry. I didn't kind of have the concept of time.
Okay, so then you are concentrating on the gyro in front of you, the heading.
Yes.
And would you, if you wouldn't mind, explain to me one thing. I hadn't heard the descriptive term of clicker or the clicks.
That is the repeater. That's the course recorder clicking off the courses.
And that's an audible click?
Yes, it is.
And that's by degree?
Yes.
But you never heard that during that 30 seconds or whatever?
Yes, I think so. I don't remember when I heard the clicking.
I think you said that once you went to once the two of you went to full right rudder, then you heard clicking?
It was 20 degrees. I heard it start clicking real slow.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Just one question, Mr. Kagan. I think Dr. Berkey asked you several questions about Exxon's policy on drug and alcohol abuse. I don't think he asked you what Exxon's policy actually is. Do you know what it is?
Alcohol is strictly prohibited on the ships.
What happens if somebody is found with alcohol and or drugs?
They are automatically fired, terminated from the company.
In your 14 years with Exxon, have you ever seen anybody fired based on that possession of alcohol and or drugs?
No, I haven't.
Thank you. Mr. Kagan, thank you for your testimony. That brings us to the conclusion of today's witnesses. We will begin tomorrow morning at 0830.
So there we have the first day, and a long and packed day it was, of testimony in the hearing of the National Transportation Safety Board into the wreck of the Exxon Valdez. We heard from the third mate, Gregory T. Cousins. We heard from Captain William Murphy, the pilot. We heard from four members of the crew after the third mate, Cousins, Harry Clower, who had the helm until approximately midnight, and Robert Kagan, who had the helm, we just heard from until the vessel ran aground, also from Paul Radke and Maureen Jones, who served as lookouts and had part-time on the helm as well. Well, Bruce, I don't even know where to start in recapping all this stuff. It's
been a very long day. We've had a tremendous amount of testimony, and we've heard a lot of conflicting testimony. For example, tonight alone, Kagan said that it was not unusual for it to take a minute and a half for the ship to respond.
Right, and then he corrected that to 30 seconds.
Okay. But we have heard conflicts about people...
Ice, whether there was ice, who saw ice, who didn't see ice.
Autopilots, whether they were on, how long they were on, who shut them off. Everyone says that Greg Cousins shut them off. Greg Cousins says he shut them off, and yet we saw some evidence presented during the questioning that perhaps the ship might have not been under human guidance when the Greg Cousins, who was at the helm, believed that it was.
Interesting is the question of the presence of the captain, Joe Hazelwood. When was he on the bridge and when wasn't he? This is something, of course, that Captain Hazelwood is not going to appear and explain for himself. But the pilot, who has known Joe Hazelwood for quite some time, said that it was rather unusual, but that Hazelwood was not on the bridge as they were going through Valdez Narrows. Everybody knows the Narrows are a difficult and touchy place to take a giant 1,000-foot tanker through. The captain was evidently below. And perhaps we can't quite get the timeline put together, but it could be as long as an hour, maybe even 2 hours from when they cast off. The captain was then on the bridge up until sometime before midnight that nobody quite seems to be able to know. Greg Cousins says that the captain said he had to go and get some messages out and went below for a brief time. When the captain went below, that's the moment that we've been talking about here. We've been hearing from Robert Kagan about. That's the moment when Cousins took it off of the autopilot. It wasn't very long after that until the vessel went aground.
So the captain was not there at the critical points, and then we hear from Kagan's testimony and from Cousins' testimony that the captain appeared the way Kagan describes it. The captain just appeared. I mean, he had Cousins yelling orders at him one moment, and then the next voice he hears is Captain Hazelwood yelling orders at him. And he paints this very graphic picture of he and Greg Cousins grabbing the wheel of this tanker and yanking on it.
And also both diving for the autopilot.
So
to turn it off.
So there's a lot of conflicting testimony, and there's a lot that is unclear from the people who were on the scene. The four crew members, Harry Clower, Paul Radke, Maureen Jones, and Robert Kagan, have not been that forthcoming in terms of providing a lot of detail of what went on.
It does seem that there's a lot of, well, I didn't notice what anybody said, and I'm not sure that he said any more than that to me, and well, we got together afterwards and talked it over, but we didn't really have much to say, and there's been a great deal of that when it comes down to who said specifically what to whom when.
The best description we can get of what the scene was like after the bridge was that there was in fact very little conversation going on there. The scene that Kagan painted for us was that the captain barked some orders, but that there did not appear to be a lot of conversation going on. Certainly no one was talking to him, and he was the fellow whose hand was on the steering wheel at the time. So what we're left with is a somewhat confused picture.
Tomorrow should be interesting. We'll get the Coast Guard side of it. The Coast Guard, the people who came on board and investigated and smelled liquor on the captain's breath, and what they did. We'll probably also start hearing about their radar and what the range is of their radar, and when they plot vessels and when they don't. I mean, if there's just one vessel out there, how could they not notice when it's deviating so far off course? They say that the radar gets it's at the limit of the radar's range, but there's been very conflicting discussion of that. And we can be sure that just as they've gone in great detail into some of the mechanics of various navigation gear, we'll hear about radars tomorrow.
We'll also be hearing about more about this autopilot that will remain a central question in this entire inquiry, whether it was on, whether it was off, who was steering the ship, and we'll be hearing from the Coast Guard about that and probably hear more testimony about the autopilot.
Well, we'll have an update in the early morning, and in case you didn't hear, it was news to us, but Lee Dickinson says that we're going to start at 8:30 tomorrow morning, not 9 o'clock, but 8:30. And Corey Flintoff will be here. I reckon you'll be here, and
yes,
I won't. So this is Steve Heimel. I've certainly enjoyed being with you on this coverage today, and probably be here again tomorrow.
And I'm Bruce Melzer. What you're listening to is joint coverage with KSKA and the Alaska Public Radio Network, live coverage of the National Transportation Safety Board hearings in Anchorage into the wreck of the Exxon Valdez. This broadcast is made possible through the facilities of KSKA Anchorage. This is a production of KSKA News and APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.